Laura seems a bit more enthusiastic today because last week, I don't even know when we recorded the last podcast, but Laura sounded a bit sleepy. And I was like, Laura, I've listened to the podcast and it doesn't sound like you. It sounds
worse. Is like, honestly, guys, like, I'm so sorry, but like, I am normally someone very excited. I would almost say that I try to like contain myself a little because I'm like jumping around and I have too much energy. And I'm like, okay, Laura, try to be serious. Like, and then in the podcast, I literally start as if I'm, I don't know, like with a little sexy voice, like an alter ego. It's like not even me. I'm like,
you know those things on TikTok where they're just like, I don't know if you can even hear it. Like they scratch the fucking mic. And I'm like, oh,
ASMR. Yeah, this guys, that was my ASMR voice.
Yeah, clearly. Maybe it's a new podcast on its own.
I mean, you know what? I actually once had someone tell me that they love the sound of my voice.
So yeah, maybe. I remember that. So maybe, you know, you have some potential.
You know what? Let's see. New business idea, Ginny.
But yeah, let's jump straight in. Today, we wanted to talk about Instagram and more specifically, if Instagram is dead, is it still the right platform to build a business? Is there any other platform that is better and all of that?
Yeah, like we literally had a call with some clients the other day and they were like talking about moving to like YouTube. They were like, oh, should we be on YouTube? And you know, like they were even talking about like other platforms, right? Like now we have apps like Indeed. Clapper, Lemonade, like all these things coming up. And I know you might be thinking, oh my God, it's so hard to grow on Instagram. And we're here to talk about that, give you some advice, and maybe also give you some tough love around marketing in general.
I think maybe the first thing I want to start with is stop. It's not going to be nice, but stop blaming the platform for your lack of success. I think, you know, we can complain about Instagram. We can complain. And you know what? We will complain about Instagram this episode because we're not going to be like, oh, Instagram is the best place ever and all of that. And we'll tell you what to do. But I think the first thing is to say, stop thinking the grass is greener somewhere else. Like stop thinking that jumping on LinkedIn is going to solve all your issues or changing niche is going to solve all your issues or, you know, it's not because you're not making it on a certain platform or with a certain niche that the problem is a platform or the niche.
Yeah.
In most cases, I would say probably 90%+ of the time.
Let's say 99.9%.
Yeah, you know what? I was being nice with 90, but Laura wants to be harsh. But yeah, I would say in most cases, it's like the problem comes from your actions, your marketing,
your content,
as simple as that. And you know what, it's like it's harsh, it's hard, and it's the same for us. Like we're the first one to think, oh, should we have another product, should we try YouTube, should we try that? And then we're like, no, actually something's not working here now. What is it that we don't do well? What can we fix? What content can we create to make it better, and so on?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, like, you have to keep in mind every social media platform has an algorithm. So yes, Instagram has an algorithm. Sometimes it's really frustrating because there will be times of massive growth, but there will be times of, you know, a bit recession, right? That you feel like you're not growing, your engagement is a bit low, but it's not because you're suddenly gonna jump on YouTube Shorts that there's no algorithm on YouTube. YouTube, if anything, is a lot harder to grow than Instagram. So I think it's like, at the end of the day, try to think of it this way. If you're in a time that your Instagram's not growing, you're not getting engagement, instead of blaming Instagram, try to think of, okay, what can I do to make this better? What can I fix in my content? Clearly, the algorithm is telling me something. It's not just the algorithm. It's the people watching your content. There's a reason why they're not engaging. There's a reason why they're not watching your reel until the end or not watching your story. So it's honestly just kind of a little reality check for you to be like, okay, let's see this as a challenge and see how I can bring it back to growth or how I can bring it to growth in the first place and really, you know, work on that rather than getting distracted and, you know, then spreading yourself so thin that you're going to suddenly jump on all the other platforms because you think that's going to be the solution to not growing on Instagram, for example.
Yeah, indeed. And I think, you know what, maybe let's start with, you know, there's lots of different platforms out there and what you should pick and so on. I obviously love Instagram, and I think Instagram has a, you know, is a great place for wannabe business owners, because they have everything, right? You have written posts, you have videos, you have stories, you have the DMs. People really know how to use the DMs, and it's really something that people use. You know, we get DMs every day. This is where you can talk to your leads and so on. And then you have, you know, website
bio. Yeah, that's a big one.
Exactly. So you have everything is made for businesses, basically. It's really a place for businesses. And very, very, very often, whatever the platform, people are pushing or like ideal clients on Instagram, right? Because they know they can have a conversation. They know it's easier to push them to a website. All the things that you don't have, for example, on TikTok, on Pinterest, more complicated. LinkedIn is a whole different platform and so on. So I think we can start with like, okay, that's a good stuff about Instagram. That's, yeah, that's great. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean that everything is great. You know, we have seen Instagram change massively the past year. They haven't made always the best decisions. But I still think, you know, it is a great platform to grow. Like, yeah, we have seen so many content creators blow up overnight, literally.
Yeah, yeah, it's insane. And like, even like for my account, like I was stuck in my growth for a little while as well, because like, I don't know, I wasn't honestly as dialed in my content strategy. I think I needed to like freshen up some things and all of that. And then recently I was like, okay, no, I'm going to take this serious again. Like, let's look at my content. And I literally like the last week grew like 2000 followers in like a week, like not even in like 3 days. So Instagram still has so much room for growth. Even more if you're a creator, a small creator, and you're starting out, because I would actually say it's a bit easier to blow up on Instagram when you're just starting out or you have a smaller audience. But even if you have a bigger audience like Ginny and myself, and you feel like you've been stuck for a little while because, I don't know, older accounts do sometimes get, you know, a bit of the shit end of the stick on Instagram, there is still a way for you to get back to growth. It's just all going to depend on your content and really dialing into your personal brand, your community, and taking it from there.
Well, actually, I'm just going to promote the masterclass just for a second because it seemed like the right place. But
yeah,
while stuck on your growth, if you are stuck on like, there's something I don't do well, clearly, because I'm not getting engagement, or if you're not sure what to post on Instagram, we do have a masterclass where we teach you how to, you know, like put together content strategy. Obviously, we have our online course as well, Instant Growth Accelerator, where we teach you everything about Instagram and how to actually, you know, bring leads to you. But we have a free part, which is actually a one free lesson from that online course. So you can check it out. We'll put it, you know, the link.
In the speaker notes. Yeah. And keep in mind, like, IGA as a program is absolutely mind blowing. It's like 3 years of us testing and trying everything on Instagram and our knowledge, obviously, about marketing and content marketing. And you'll learn all of that in like 10 modules, 10 weeks, pretty much, which is insane. So yeah, definitely check that out. But the best way, if you're interested in joining that program, is always to look at the masterclass, because you get a really cool discount as well. So
yeah,
definitely lots of free value and a discount. So nothing to lose, everything to gain.
But now, that being said, there's a reason why we push Instagram. Like, we have subscribers. I have 5,000 subscribers on YouTube. I have 60,000 followers on TikTok. I have something like 100,000 monthly viewers on Pinterest. Laura has what, 15,000 followers, yeah, on LinkedIn?
On LinkedIn, yeah. I think something like that, 16,000.
So, you know, we know how to do social media. This is not a problem. We know how to do each platform and all of that. So we chose Instagram because we saw the best conversion. So if you're really looking at building a business, building a brand, making money online, I still believe that Instagram is a great place for it. It's not the only place, but it's our favorite place for it.
Yeah.
So there's a reason why we push you to Instagram. We could decide to create a course on TikTok or LinkedIn or whatever, but no, we decided on Instagram. No.
I mean, also, by the way, Ginny, maybe good for everyone to know, because this is a few years ago, when you started your business, you already had like 60,000 followers on TikTok, and you had maybe 2,000 on Instagram, and you signed clients with your, you know, less followers on Instagram and nothing from TikTok. So the difference was insane. And you still, all your clients came from Instagram.
Yeah, because I think I didn't have 60,000 followers, but I had a bunch of followers on TikTok that was bigger than Instagram. So I was growing faster on TikTok, but people would come find me on Instagram. They would sometimes see like my TikTok and then click on my, you know, like the little link to Instagram on TikTok and come talk to me on Instagram. Because they just feel, I don't know, they feel more connected that way. They can see a little bit better. They just feel more comfortable that way.
Yeah.
But no, it doesn't mean that we haven't seen some people blow up with TikTok or, you know, even make money, you know, just because they have a TikTok and so on. I think at the end of the day, it's up to you to choose the platform that you want to be on, because each platform has its pros and cons. Like TikTok is different. TikTok is very different. It's even now, like I no longer repurpose my Instagram reels on TikTok because they simply don't work, because they simply don't have the same vibe that TikTok has now. You need to have a certain vibe when you go on TikTok, the same way you need to have a certain vibe when you go on YouTube or Pinterest or LinkedIn. So it is very hard not to cross promote things on different platforms and repurpose things. It doesn't work that great. So it depends.
I think TikTok is also very hit or miss. Like even if, let's say, you have 100,000 followers on TikTok, you could literally post a video today and still only reach 1,000 people, but then the next day reach 100,000. Like TikTok, you're joking. Is like, even there's 100... no in between.
Like I would never post on Instagram and get 100 reach. Like that would never happen. It's impossible. Because my Instagram, I mean, Instagram would push at least to a certain amount of followers of my followers on Instagram. And that minimum is probably around 4,000 or 5,000 minimum. You know, it's like, even if your content's rubbish, girl, I'll push it to a bunch of people, you know?
Like, okay, you posted a shit selfie, I'll still show it to 3,000 people.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know what, whatever. So you still have that, you know, that tiny percentage. It's still small. People still complain about it. Yeah, but I have followers, but no one sees my content, blah, blah, blah. Fair enough. But look at TikTok. I have 60,000 followers. If I post a TikTok that is shit, it's going to get 50 views. Maybe even 2 views sometimes. Yes, I've deleted some TikTok that got like less than 100 views. Like if it's not in the vibe of TikTok, you can literally have a massive, massive flop. It won't show it to your followers. It needs to be really good for it to show it to your followers and other people. So, you know, TikTok, having a following on TikTok doesn't mean much. Like you can have no followers and have 100,000 views on each TikTok and the other way around. So it's like, yeah, your followers don't mean much on TikTok. But like I said, I think it's just each platform has its pros and cons. And that for me is a massive cons of TikTok. I see less conversion. I see less loyal following, basically.
Yeah.
It's much harder to build a community. There are people out there who build a great community on TikTok, but it's a different vibe than Instagram. Yeah. It's different. So
it's not like, let's say you go viral on TikTok, that the next day you'll have DMs of people asking how they can work with you. Whereas on Instagram, like I now have a reel performing really well. I literally get like DMs every hour of people asking how to work with me. And that is, okay, first of all, good content. But second of all, the platform does play a role. You know, like I wouldn't have that on TikTok.
Exactly. So I think, again, it also is maybe a question of generation. You might have younger people on TikTok, so they're obviously less likely to buy from you because they're most used to free stuff and all of that. So, you know, you need to bear that in mind. And again, it's not to, you know, say Instagram is the best, but it's just to show you that you'll have pros and cons everywhere. And I'm actually thinking about creating a new account, and I will do that on TikTok because I prefer a new account and a different like thing. It's just more lifestyle stuff. But because I prefer TikTok, I enjoy TikTok. And if I'm going to do something for fun, I would do it on TikTok. But if I'm doing something where I have a purpose in mind, and I want to make money, I would do it on Instagram.
Yeah, every single day. And I think that's like the thing, like you want to still think as a business owner. So that means, first of all, pick a platform that makes sense for your conversion. But second of all, also don't spread yourself too thin. You're a business owner or you want to start a business. So you should not spend 100% of your time only on creating content for, let's say, 5 different social media platforms. You're still going to have part of your time going towards being with your clients or doing some behind the scenes admin work or whatever it is. So I think that's also important to know. You're not just a content creator. So don't get too distracted with all these other social media platforms. Start with one, do it well. And if you have one that performs well, you can literally build a multiple seven-figure business from that. You don't need also a YouTube audience, also a LinkedIn audience. No, you just need, let's say, Instagram and an email list. That's it. If you have a great Instagram and then you get them down your funnel into your email list and sell to them, you're fine. You're golden. Like, you don't need to then suddenly still have that audience elsewhere.
It's exactly that. I think, you know, bear in mind that the only platform where you won't have an algorithm to play with is emails. Emails, you can only blame yourself. If people don't open your emails, it's because your hook is shit or because your email list is not great and so on. But it's not because of an algorithm. I mean, you still have, you know, the spam thing and you can, but that's very easy to counter. So, you know, at some point, yes, email is always something important, but it's almost like see it as a funnel, as in, you know, see it as in, I'm collecting leads from Instagram and then I make sure that, I keep these leads close to me and then I send them emails so I can convert those people. Yeah. So having an email list and some sort of a freebie, or even it could be a longer form of content that's going to make people join that funnel, is going to be crucial. That's important. But being on every single platform, understand, is not going to make you rich overnight. It's not going to fix all your problems and so on. And maybe we can talk about YouTube, because I think...
Yeah, I wanted to talk about like how we had a call with some clients, and basically that person, one of our clients, was using her Instagram almost to promote her YouTube. And I kind of want to talk a bit about that, because I see so many people do that. Like, they have, let's say, some people in their audience on Instagram, and instead of pushing them to their email list, they push them to other social media. They're like, oh, follow me on YouTube, follow me there. And it's like, from a funnel point of view, that doesn't make any sense. You have the person's attention. Instagram is a platform, once again, as we said, that converts very well, because you have the DMs, you have your stories, you have all those features. So then the next step is getting them on your email list or converting them directly in a sale on Instagram, which is also possible. The next step is not using your audience to grow YouTube. Like, no, YouTube should bring in reach of its own if you want for your business, but it shouldn't, like, your goal is not to grow a YouTube account. Your goal is to make money as a business owner with social media, right? So yeah, like, moving into YouTube, the algorithm, do you want to talk about that, Ginny? Because I know we are very passionate about YouTube.
I love YouTube. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I think YouTube is a great platform. I think if you want to be a YouTuber, go for it. You know, if it's your dream, like, go after it. One thing I can for sure tell you is that, yes, YouTube is like, it has this kind of, I don't know, cool vibe, right? It's like, if you say, yeah, I'm a YouTuber and have 100,000 subscribers, it's like, wow, you know. Then if you say, yeah, I'm on Instagram and have 100,000 followers, they're like, oh yeah, you're some sort of influencer, whatever. Then if you're a YouTuber, it has this kind of really
cool,
fancy, like, I made it kind of vibe. And that's, I love that, you know. I love the fact that it has this, I don't even know how to word for it, like, it's kind of like,
it's like an ego thing almost, I feel ego, like,
but like, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know, like, almost,
it feels
like,
very legit. I don't know.
Yeah, like, you have almost that diploma from YouTube when you reach 100,000.
I mean, you literally get like freaking awards sent to home when you hit like 100,000 subscribers and things like that. I think,
and you can ask someone who's your favorite YouTuber and they would tell you, oh, I love this YouTuber. Then influencers is like, or, you know, Instagrammers, they'd be like, yeah, and I follow a bunch or whatever. They don't even know if they know the name and all of that. So I think, you know, personal brands on YouTube might be stronger. But I think if you're going to go on YouTube, it's either you go on YouTube or you go on Instagram. You know, I think doing both is going to be extremely hard, because they're both platforms that, you know, requires a lot of work, basically. Yeah. I mean, any platform requires a lot of work, but I think YouTube 10 times more than any other platform. I mean, there's a reason why they give you a fucking plate. 400,000 subscribers.
Like, you made it, you suffered hard, but here you go, here's a little medal.
Exactly. No,
like, the I can understand, like, indeed, the loyalty on YouTube is huge. Why? Because people watch long form content on Instagram.
You know,
yeah, I know, but like, also, I just want to talk about the attention span. Like, the attention span on Instagram is a lot shorter, right? Like, people, let's say, are on Reels and they scroll and things like that. It's a bit like TikTok, if you want. Like, on YouTube, people do watch long form content, but they don't always stay. Of course, the retention rate is hard to maintain. Like, it is still dropping. But at the end of the day, if someone watches a 10-minute YouTube video of you or someone watches one reel of you, of course, there's a big difference. Like, people are going to know you so much better from watching a 10-minute video, and they're more likely then to subscribe and follow along and become a real fan. But keep in mind, long form content to create on YouTube is a lot of work. And keeping that retention from a person for 10 minutes is super hard. Like, I would genuinely say it's almost like, I don't know, some next level strategy that you need. Like, yes, Instagram needs strategy. You need a content strategy. You still need a good hook. You still need good content, talking to people's problems, goals, and so forth. And you need to know your niche and your ideal client. But YouTube, you have that. But then on top of that, there's this whole layer of like, okay, you don't want to give away too much too early because you need to keep people's retention until 10 minutes. You almost want to end the video abruptly because otherwise people tune out towards the end. Your screen, things need to be changing to keep people hooked and things like that. So that is, first of all, a lot of thinking. But second of all, it's super expensive to produce. Like, it's literally, you need a nice setup. You need to, like, I mean, every time we were filming our YouTube videos, it was like half an hour to just prep our office to film because we had to put up lights, the camera, and so forth. We had a professional video editor because we were like, okay, if we're going to do YouTube, we're going to do things properly. And if we have to edit our videos, it's going to take, I don't know, a day, like way too long. So we were like, okay, we're going to outsource this because our time is better spent elsewhere. But that was a budget, right? Like, if you want a good video editor, you will spend still $200-$300 per video. Like, I think that's what we were spending more or less.
Yeah.
And it's a budget. So the whole process is like, you have the setup. No. First you have your idea, then you script strategically, then you film, maybe even with a teleprompter, because you want to stay, you don't want to waffle, right? Like, it's YouTube. People are going to zone out if you're just going to randomly talk about shit. It's not like podcasts where hopefully you're multitasking. so you can't like waffle. You need to be super on script. Then you film, then you send it to your video editor, then they start editing, then you need to give feedback, then they make the changes, then you upload it. YouTube is still like a lot of SEO, so you need to do well on the description and the tags, and you need to have the perfect thumbnail, because actually if you don't have a good thumbnail, it's not clickable. So it's a whole science, honestly.
There's a reason why, again, like I said, that people are so amazed when you get, you know, a certain amount of subscribers on YouTube. It's like, you can't just do, like, you can't just press play on your, you know, your camera, whatever is it that you're using, and talk for 10 minutes and then publish it and hoping to get followers like this and putting a few tags and something's going to happen, you know? Even like that on Instagram, you could get lucky and get something out of it. On YouTube, you're going to get zero views. If you're going to go on YouTube, you're going to have to, but again, you're going to have to compete with really big players. I mean, even Mr. Beast, if you on YouTube, you probably know that person, is, I think
he's the biggest
YouTuber.
Biggest.
I'm pretty sure he's the number one YouTuber on YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, definitely best paid, that's for sure.
Yeah, best like, paid, but I'm not even, I think he might be audience-wise as well. I mean,
yeah,
I'm not
probably sure, something he's like that.
The guy is like, I mean, if you don't know him, Google him, you'll see he's huge and stuff like that. But he spends so much time and money when he creates a video. Like, there's a lot of thinking behind it. It's not like he's going to press play, you know, take your little phone, record that little reel, free tips to na 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 blah blah blah, and that's
and then
it.
Point a bit,
and he's gonna get
and do a little hand transition.
Like, it's not like that. Like, he spends a shit ton of time thinking about the script, a shit ton of time about the production, a shit ton of money about the production, and he says it. He said YouTube is hard. Like, you have to put a lot of thoughts into it, and if you're not making it, it's because your content is shit, and you're competing with people who put a budget into it or skills into it, like. You know, you have people who actually are literally good at video editing and they're going to record their own videos and then edit them, and you need to edit them a certain way to keep the retention the best way possible. So, you know, you might find the odd channels where people are just pressing play and they're just randomly saying things and they're going to go viral because it's unedited and stuff like that. But often those people are actually influencers on another platform.
That's
and
what
they
I
actually
wanted to say. They're already famous. Yeah.
Cross promote like this. it's quite rare that suddenly someone's just gonna talk randomly without editing and gonna go viral. Like, I mean, here's like, you might as well just play the lottery and you might get more lucky. So again, it's not to like, I'm not paid by Instagram to talk well about Instagram, you know. Like I said, I couldn't know how to do YouTube. I could tell you how to do YouTube properly and get subscribers, but I just think it doesn't make much sense. And we actually, full disclosure, we actually had a call with a YouTube coach because we wanted to know a little bit more about YouTube. You know, we're Instagram experts, maybe less YouTube experts, and we're gonna see if there's nothing that we're missing or that we should know and stuff like that. And literally the first thing the person said, YouTube is hard. We paid the person to jump on a call to teach us about like YouTube strategy, and the first thing he said is like, YouTube is hard.
Yeah, we were like, oh great.
You should tell us that. Like, and he was like, basically there's nothing new that he told us, but it was like just more like telling us, yeah, you know, obviously the thumbnail makes a huge difference, and he always has to, you know, test, and basically it's a lot of copy of like, oh, this kind of person did this hook and I'm gonna copy it and I'm gonna, and that's going to work, and then I'm just gonna repurpose it the same way. And so much editing into it, so much thinking into it, so much like your title, then your thumbnail, like Laura said, then you know your video editing, all of that, it's a lot, and it's a 10-minute video, and I don't know, and it's exhausting.
It's a lot. And I also feel like, if you know, to compare, right, because we have programs obviously teaching people to grow their Instagram following and grow their business thanks to Instagram. If we did the same for YouTube, if for some reason we were YouTube experts, I genuinely have a feeling that even if we had the same amount of clients in the YouTube program, the results would be better on Instagram. Why? Because it's just way more forgiving. Like, we have clients with a way bigger Instagram audience than us, making even way more money than us. And that is so nice to have, right? As a coach, to be like, oh, wow, my clients are doing better than us. That's great. That means that the strategies are working. But it also shows like we have a lot of social proof for our programs. I know our strategies are amazing, but I also think Instagram can be amazing. It's a lot more forgiving because it's not like people implement things perfectly. They still give it their spin and all of that. But I feel like YouTube would be less forgiving. I feel like in YouTube, we would have less, let's say, testimonials and social proof from our clients, because it would be so much more, sporadic that someone
and
actually-
And so much more like, investment. You would actually need to have a good thumbnail. And how to put a good thumbnail, I mean, you know how to design a bit and know how to, like, you need to learn quite a bit more about psychology and graphic design and all of that, all these things. Then Instagram, again, we teach you inside our online course IGA, we teach you how to create, you know, good hooks and how to make it visually appealing as well, because this is important, whether that's on carousel or even reels, you know, how to film properly, etc. But we have clients who, honestly, they don't do it perfectly. Like, they don't do it at the level
like
that
the design is not super pretty or anything like, but they still work.
They still have a big audience than us. So, you know, it still did work. So it's like, as long as you have some sort of a strategy that, you know, we taught you, and that's based on, you know, your niche and ideal client, which is probably the biggest thing, it works. That means that YouTube, I feel like it would be much, but I mean, I wouldn't be confident to launch a YouTube channel and to launch a YouTube course and telling you how to do YouTube, because I would be like, it's hard.
But also,
like I said, it's
like,
hard.
I think the big difference is as well, like, we, like most of you listening, I'm guessing you don't have a multi-million dollar business and you don't have employees and video editors and all those things. Usually the people listening to us are still in the relatively early stages of their business, right? So meaning budget is a bit tight, you know, you want to get an audience, you want to get visibility for your business. That's why I also just feel like Instagram is such a great point to look at, because like within our programs, we, for example, give our Canva templates away. People literally take our templates, just fill it out with their content and have amazing performing content. That is like super easy, you know, like we can't give you a YouTube template. No, there's no such thing. Like, you still have to film for yourself, edit for yourself. We would literally have to tell you, oh, well, ideally you have a thumbnail that looks like this, but oh, well, it depends on the video and you need to do photography for the thumbnail because we need to see your face and it needs to be like really good looking photography. But then also get a video editor, because if you are not good at video editing, we're going to need you to like step it up a bit, because otherwise you're not, your attention is not going to be great. And then we'll be like, oh, SEO is like this. Like Instagram is just so much more chill in that way. You can literally start with an iPhone. Like I literally create all my content just with my phone. I go on CapCut on my computer. Like it's not like CapCut is literally free. Like there's no expense in like for us to post on Instagram, which is
no, crazy. I started my business with nothing. Like I didn't have to invest in anything. I didn't, like I just started creating content, you know, and that's a beauty. And also I want to say something else about YouTube and I forgot.
Shorts maybe?
Sorry?
Maybe we also want to talk about shorts later on.
Yeah, I mean, shorts is a whole different thing. Personally, even if I have shorts that works well, I don't see any subscribers. I'm actually losing subscribers. I haven't posted on YouTube for like a year or something. So I'm obviously losing subscribers. And I'm posting on shorts. I mean, I'm posting on shorts. I'm repurposing my content on shorts. And some, you know, get decent views or whatever, you know, for a repurposing thing. I'm not expecting much more. But I never see any subscribers from it. So yeah, I mean, again, unless you go on shorts with a proper strategy, I think it might be a little bit harder than it looks. I think, you know, it's like I think now with the platforms, you really have to go on each platform has its own vibe. And if you don't go on the platform with a certain strategy, it's going to be hard to repurpose and, you know, get stuff like that. I think it was almost easier a few years ago to do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they were almost like Instagram copies, but now it's like everything has its own vibe. And
yeah,
I think, you know,
there's nothing holding you back from like repurposing a good piece of content on other platforms if you want to give that a try. Why not? If you've created the content and it gets some extra reach, amazing, but definitely don't use your Instagram to drive reach to that other platform. Like that's
definitely you want to do. Like you really need to see it as a funnel. And if you don't know what we mean by funnel, maybe just Google, like, you know, those little funnel thing,
like for water.
A reverse triangle, basically. And the closer you get to the bottom, the closer you get to money, basically, to leads. And you know, you need to see Instagram, TikTok, all of that as, you know, lead generation, then emails, and then conversion. And you can even jump, like, you know, I didn't even have an email list when I was having 5 coaching clients per month.
Oh, that was so funny. I remember, Jeannie, when we were like starting our businesses, we were like on a daily basis telling each other, like, I forgot to send emails. I have now a few thousand people, like 100 or whatever people on our email list. And we like never emailed them. It was so hard for us.
I had like a few thousand, probably. Oh, I don't remember exactly. I think I had maybe 1,000 subscribers on my email list, but I never send them emails ever.
Yeah,
like, ever.
I think we only got strategic when we had the business together. But before that, we had kind of had each an email list, but like never really use it. Or unless we wanted to sell. And then we were like, hi, 3 spots open for my coaching program.
I mean, I think
not advisable, by
the
way.
I think if you just have like coaching clients or one-to-one or stuff like that, and you don't have a lot of capacities, as in you can't take hundreds of clients, I don't even think an email list is that necessary. Like we closed all our leads through Instagram itself. Like that is it. I mean, we had a website, a landing page that helps, you know, just having a few information and people can be like emailing you or a contact form and stuff like that. But you don't necessarily need an email list. I mean, for us, it's crucial because, you know, it's more like online courses. It's more like more people. But before that, you don't really need it. And I think that's the other thing I want to say is that we have so many students who sign clients with as little as 50 followers on Instagram. And I find it harder to believe that you can do the same on YouTube. I don't even know. I don't even think I've signed any clients for YouTube. I have people who found me on Instagram, went on my YouTube, watched a few YouTube videos, and that helps, you know, the nurturing. And then they sign up to my programs, but I don't think I find people on YouTube and then they sign up to my programs.
No, No, actually, speaking of, I have a bit of data on that because I recently talked to a friend and she kind of blew up on YouTube. She has, by the way, 20 people on her team, including obviously a video editor. So just putting that out there, it wasn't like luck. She had a video strategist, a video editor, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, she has 60,000 subscribers on YouTube. And she actually called me last week because she was stuck on her lounge because she doesn't have a lot of people signing up for her free challenge for her lounge. Like she had like maybe 1,000 people or something that signed up, which is actually really not a lot because, you know, we have nothing on YouTube. And when we had a smaller audience on Instagram, I think for one lounge, we once had like 4,000 whatever people signing up for our challenge, you know, and that's with a smaller audience. So it just shows that the conversion of YouTube is not always as high as it might seem. You know, people are there also to just get an answer to their problem. They're just literally there typing something in or even typing something into Google.
That's another thing. The more demanding, right?
Give me my answer now. Like I just Googled how to fix engagement. I need the answer now.
They would get really upset if you don't give everything away for free, if you dare to push something else, if you, for example, they even like, if you just say random shit for the first 2 minutes, they would fucking hate it. Like they're really, really picky because they're very, very used to a lot of free value for a whole 10 to 15 minutes. So I find it kind of hard on this. And I mean, I think, you know, one of our students was saying, yeah, but it's much more passive than Instagram. If you go on holidays, you still have to post and stuff like that. Agreed. Yes. I think YouTube, the good thing about YouTube is that it is more passive. You post 2 YouTube videos a month, that's all you need to do. But again, don't forget that those 2 YouTube videos are probably taking you as much time, if not more, than 30 posts on Instagram. So don't think that those 2 YouTube videos are going to be done very quickly, very easily. It's more expensive and it's going to take you about the same time. Like again, we create our content so quickly now.
Yeah, and also I don't think you're going to grow quickly on YouTube with only 2 videos a month. If you actually want to take it seriously, you're going to have to post a bit more often. So it's going to take a lot of your time. And I think actually speaking of how we talked before about like people on YouTube are just looking for the solution of their problem, I think people when they go on Instagram, they go to be entertained or sometimes even sold to. They go on there for the personal brands almost or the people they follow. So it's a very different vibe. Like I still... when I get stuck, let's say with a tech thing, I'll go on YouTube and fill out, you know, I don't know, solve this issue and then watch a tutorial. But I don't really care about the person. Whereas I will go on YouTube, on Instagram and be like, ooh, this influencer, or, oh, what did Ginny post? Ooh, what's Ginny doing today? I'll check her stories. You know, like people actually care a bit more about the person. If anything, I've noticed that I get the most replies on my stories when I talk about personal stuff, not when I'm just talking about, you know, let's say the business. Like sometimes I will just post something, I don't know, a life update, and I'll get the most love and support ever from sharing that, you know? So I do think people on Instagram, that community feeling and that the way that people really go on there for those brands that they're following, and I'm talking about personal brands mainly, that is just so huge, you know, and that is a lot for your business because, you know, people buy from people they know, like, and trust, not just because they once looked up a tutorial on, I don't know, how to fix a tech issue that they're having.
Yeah. I think if anything, if you feel like having something else, having a podcast could be something because I think what I like about the podcast is it's very unedited. And YouTube, it's like, oh yeah, but you know, for 10 minutes, you get to know the person, you see more. Yeah, of course, but it's so, so scripted. Like I literally have a script and I'm reading the script and I'm trying to put a bit of more personality into it. I'm trying to talk the way I talk in real life, but it's never going to be the same on podcast. Same with Instagram, obviously. And I like podcasts for that, is that we don't cut anything. Like everything we say is actually how we filmed it. It's very, very rare that we messed up with someone and we're like, oh yeah, maybe let's just cut that part because it was a bit messy, but it's really rare. Most of the time it's so easy. So it's literally like at the beginning and the end, you know, where we just say random stuff and post it on podcast and whatever. Obviously we don't really have a strategy for podcasts. We just enjoy podcasting and we just take random things. And honestly, I don't even know the data. I have no idea what, you know, what subscribers we have, like how many listeners we have. And
even if two people are listening, guys, we love you, but also just join the conversation. We just love chatting.
Yeah, it's literally that. So I think if you enjoy chatting and if you want to kind of like having this more nurturing thing, I think it helps for us to just get people to know us, as in actually us and our thoughts. Are like, it's very unfiltered. Like, it's not like people are listening and they're just like quick, you know, the info, you know. They might enjoy the debate and, you know, going back and forth on something. I mean, at least I enjoy when I listen to podcasts about this. It's like, it's less scripted, and I actually there's a bunch of YouTubers that I like and I listen to their podcast, and I prefer the podcast 10 times more than the YouTube, because it's more about them and like their thoughts and the debates, and I love hearing, you know, the personality and all of that. I love that. And also, I can't fucking sit 10 minutes watching a YouTube video. I can't do that anymore. I just don't have the attention span.
It's so funny how that's changed, though. I used to be able to do that, but I think like my attention span to actually watch a whole video, like, it's really gone down. So I do podcasts because I'm multitasking, which fits my lifestyle very well because I like multitasking. But like, yeah, to sit down and just have all your focus on a video, it's hard. Like, I think people don't even, I mean, I know Ginny doesn't, but people don't even watch Netflix without being on their phone. Like, if you want to watch a movie with Ginny, FYI, she's just going to be on her phone half of the movie. It's like,
what, you know what I have to do? Like, it's horrible. And I'm horrible. Even like, I don't want to go to the cinema because I know that it's going to be torture for me. I'm like, I'm going to have to stay for 2 hours and just watch one thing. Like, how? I rarely go to cinema.
I remember once we were in the South of France, we were in a house together, and I was like, oh, should we watch this movie together? And like, my boyfriend was there as well, so it was the three of us, and we were like, yeah, and then Ginny was like, oh yeah, that's good. And then like, Dickon and I watched the movie, and Ginny was just on her phone.
And Dickon was like, oh, you didn't like it? I was like, yeah, it was great, I really loved it. And he was like, but you didn't watch? Yeah, I watched, and I multitask and I watch and I know the whole story. But you know what I have to do, Laura? Like, and that's why Craig, my husband, always tells me, like, why are you doing this? Like, I rarely watch on TV or on my iPad. I watch on my phone, because at least I can't go on my phone because I'm already on my fucking phone. And even then, you can now put Netflix in small, and I do that a lot. When you're on your phone, you can literally scroll and you still have like that tiny little window of Netflix.
Guys, this is the future. Like, Ginny is literally, I think you are so Gen Z in that, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's my attention. Like, I have no attention. Imagine how it was for like school for me. Like, 40 minutes of school was like hell. Like, I hate school so much.
I mean, to be honest, at school, I was pretty bad as well. I just saw going to class as a moment to catch up with my friends. So I got sent a lot out of the classroom because I was always talking. And
yeah, I mean,
every like report or whatever you call it, like whenever you get your grades and the teacher gives you some feedback, mine said, I'm not even joking, until I graduated, it said, Laura has good grades, but she talks too much. It was literally like, no wonder I love podcasts. So yeah. It's I get the whole thing, but yeah, we didn't really have phones yet, like when we were in school and stuff, like it wasn't the same. I mean, I had a phone, but it wasn't like as bad as now, I think.
Well, no, you didn't have social media and all. I mean,
yeah,
maybe more you, Laura, because you,
I had Facebook in high school. We did have that,
and I had it at the end. I was 17 years old when Facebook came out, so
yeah. No, I was a bit younger. Yeah, no, I had Facebook, but it was so different, you know, like it was just about your friends and you don't really have good content to consume.
No, it was not like but anyway, all that to say, I can't watch YouTube anymore. As you can see, I can listen to podcasts because I would go for a walk or workout or something like that. I listen to podcast, but yeah, anyway, I think we're not leave it here.
I think we should leave it here until otherwise we're just gonna keep telling you about our live and random updates. But yeah, I hope you understand a bit where we're coming from when it comes to like, when we say Instagram is a good platform, just know that the entry you know, the barrier to entry is super easy to start. It's super cheap to start. It's a lot more forgiving. And the algorithm at the end of the day, honestly, is not that bad. If you have good content, you can grow, whether you're starting out, you have a dead account. Like I had a dead account. So like all these things are possible. You just need to work on your
stack. It's actually much easier to grow now than when I started 3 years ago. It's much, much more doable. Instagram really helps new accounts to be pushed, to be seen. I've seen way too many accounts that blew up literally overnight. That zero followers, a brand new account, blow up overnight. Like,
yeah,
honestly, you can definitely do that in today's world, and stop thinking that the grass is greener. Stop thinking that if you go on YouTube or TikTok or whatever, it's going to be easier. If you find it hard, it's because you just need a strategy. You just need a bit of structure. And again, we have our free masterclass where we literally give you the system that we use to build a content strategy. Is completely free. So you can sign up. We'll put it in the speaker notes. So yeah, hope you enjoyed. Hope you enjoyed this this masterclass. No, this podcast.
Enjoy the masterclass as well. We'll see you there again.
But yeah, speak to you
later. Thanks so much for listening. See you in the next one. Bye.